Okay, good morning on both sides. Today's daf is Samech Beis. We're going to start the top of Samech Beis. So remember again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit. So the Gemara spoke about, the Gemara was in the middle of discussing over here the halachos concerning the kamiya. So the last discussion we got into was, does the kamiya have kedusha or not? And specifically the ramification of that is, can you wear the kamiya into the bathroom? So the Gemara wanted, the last answer the Gemara gave was yes. Because you could go ahead and carry the kamiya in your hand. That's what the Gemara wanted to suggest. You can carry the kamiya in your hand, and therefore if you're carrying, because again, since it's for refuah, that's not called carrying. Right? That's called a tzorech, and therefore it's called even a takshid if you're carrying it. So therefore, that would alleviate the bathroom issue, because then if it's in your hand, then halacha lemaisa, it's covered. So the Gemara says, is that true? V'hatayin top of Samech Beis. V'hatayin, but we learned. Rabbi Oshia Omer, Ubilachli Yakzana Biyodo, Via Avirenu Arba Amos Birsho Sarafin. Hi, but the Gemara says, Rabbi Oshia says explicitly that you could wear the kamiya on Shabbos as long as what? You don't hold it in your hand and end up carrying it Dalit Amos in Rosho Sarafin. Rashi says, Shalo Yakzanu, Delo Havitachshit Shalo Ela Derech Malbush. Because ultimately, says Rabbi Oshia, the kamiya is only considered to be a tachshit if literally you're wearing it. So the Gemara says the following, Elo hachab mayaskinon, what's the case? The mechupo or. The case that we're talking about over here is where the kamiya is covered with a leather covering. It has a covering, so therefore you're not wearing the kamiya just outwardly exposed, but the kamiya is covered again in a leather pouch. That will allow you to go ahead and carry it into the bathroom. So the Gemara says, aye, what about vahari tefillin, the mechupo or? What about tefillin that's also covered with leather? Right, the parshios themselves are covered by leather batim. So the Gemara says, "V'tanya hanichnas labeis akisei chovitz tefillin berichog da arba amos v'nichnas." And yet the Braisa says that if one wants to go into the bathroom, if one's wearing tefillin and has to go into the bathroom, one has to take the tefillin off at a distance of 4 amos from the bathroom and only then go in. This would seem to indicate that a covering of leather is not enough to shield an item of kedusha from impure places. So the Gemara says, no, hasam mishum shin. Tefillin is different. Why? Because tefillin has the shin on the outside of the bayis. The Amar Abaye, shin shel tefillin is tefillin shel rosh. Shin shel tefillin halacha lemoshe misinai. Because Abaye said the shin on the outside of the tefillin shel rosh is the halacha lemoshe misinai. One of the halachos given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Therefore, Abaye said, by tefillin, even though it has the leather covering, because it has the shin there, that's like there's no covering at all, as opposed to the kamiya, which is encased in the leather covering. Halacha l'maaseh, that's enough to shield it from. That's enough of a sensitivity to its kadosh status, and would allow you to take it into the bathroom. But Amar Abaye, now once the Gemara quoted this tefillin, Amar Abaye, dalit shel tefillin halacha l'moshe misinai. So Abaye said the dalit of tefillin is also a halacha l'moshe misinai. Talking about over here the shel rosh, the knot of the shel rosh. V'amar Abaye yud shel tefillin halacha l'moshe misinai. Furthermore, said Abaye the yud of tefillin. Now, what's the yud of tefillin? The yud of tefillin is the knot on the shel yad. Right? If you notice again, you have this knot on your shel yad right next to the bayis. That is supposed to be a yud. That's a yud. So you have again your shin on embossed on the, not embossed is really the wrong word because it's not embossed. It's
raised,
thank you. You have the shin raised on the shel rosh, you have the dalet in the knot of the back, whether you have a single dalet or a double dalet in the back of the shel rosh, and you have the yud on the knot of the shel yad. So Abaye says, also obviously spelling out the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Abaye says, all of that is halacha l'moshe misinai. V'lo b'shiryon, v'lo b'kasta, v'lo b'magafayim. So the Mishnah said you may not go out. Shiryon is a coat of mail, kasta is a helmet, magafayim are literally shin guards, but we'll define all this in just a moment. So the Gemara says, Shiryon is zarda. Shiryon is a coat of mail. Kasta, amarav, sanurta, or sanuarta. So what does this mean? Look at Rashi, sanuarta. Rashi says, kova or, tachas kova hamatachas. So what the Gemara is pointing out over here is, this helmet that the Gemara, that the Mishnah describes, refers to the leather helmet that they would wear underneath the iron helmet. So I guess when you were wearing an iron helmet, you wouldn't put that right on your head. I guess it would hurt. So they wore like a soft leather helmet underneath the iron helmet. So that's the Mishnah. So I guess, again, maybe a person might have thought, I don't know, maybe sometimes a person wore, I guess not, but a person wants to go out on Shabbos just with a leather helmet. Kamashon, you can't do that on Shabbos. Magafayim, what are magafayim? Amarav pazmiki. So look at Rashi. Pazmiki. And pilios shel barzel b'milchama. See, interestingly enough, so and pilios literally means slippers. But it's not just slippers that went on your feet, it's slippers that went on your feet and up your legs as well. So it's more than just shin guards. That's the point that Rashi's making over here. Right? It's talking about, again, iron coverings for your legs. Okay. Fine. So we'll say, obviously, the reason you can't go out with these on Shabbos is because, again, these were worn during wartime, and people never really wore them just as stam malbush. People didn't wear them just as stam clothing. Therefore, I can't go out there on Shabbos. Mishnah. Lo teitze isha. Okay. So the Mishnah says the following. Lo teitze isha b'machat hanakuva v'lo b'tabashi shalachosim. So the Mishnah says, a woman may not go out on Shabbos. Machat hanakuva means a needle that has a hole on the top. Right? In the previous Mishnah, we spoke about a needle that doesn't have a hole on the top. So now the Mishnah says she can't go out with a needle that has a hole on the top. V'lo b'tabas shiyish alechosim. Nor may she go out with a ring that has a signet on it. V'lo b'kuliyar. She can go out with a kuliyar. We'll define that in the Gemara. V'lo b'kuliyar. V'lo b'kovelas. She can't go out with a kovelas. Just the simple translations of these words is kuliyar is a brooch. Kovelas is a spice packet. But we'll define exactly what this means. V'lo b'tzluchas shel plaiton. And she cannot go out with a flask of balsam oil. V'im yatzasa. And if she went out with any of these things, chayeves chatos divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that she's chayeves chatos. Why? Because according to Rabbi Meir, the common denominator is that none of these items is considered to be a tachshit, is considered to be an ornament, and therefore halacha l'maisa, she is liable for carrying these particular items. V'chachamim potrim b'koveles u'b'tzluchas shal plaiton. But the chachamim exempt, chachamim says she's not chayeves chatos, in koveles with the spice pouch and with the flask of balsam. Amar Ula. So Ula says the following. V'chilufeihen v'ish. The exact opposite is true with a man. Now take a look at Rashi. Amar Ula. V'chilufeihen v'ish. Atabaskoi. So Ula's statement is definitely referring to the case of the ring. What does he mean? D'tabas sheyish alav chosen. That if you have a ring that has on it a signet, a seal. Im yatza patur. So remember, with the woman, the previous Mishnah told us that if it doesn't have a chosam, she could go out with it, right? She's pater. And if it does have a chosam, now we're saying she's chayiv chatos, chayiv chatos. Ula says the exact opposite is true with a man. That halacha lemaisa, if a man goes out with a ring that has a signet on it, he's pater. But if he goes out without a ring on, without a signet on it, then he's chayiv chatos. So the Gemara says the following: Alma kasaver ula. Therefore, we see that ula holds. Kol midi dechazi leish lo chazi leisha. Midi dechazi leisha lo chazi leish. So what do we see from ula? Anything that's fit for a woman is not fit for a man. Actually, let's read it the way it says over here. Anything that's fit for a man is not fit for a woman, and anything that's fit for a woman is not fit for a man. Masiv Rav Yosef, Ibat Rav Yosef raises a contradiction. He said, so meaning, what the Gemara is suggesting is that according to Ula, by definition, if a woman wears something in a certain way, or wears a certain something, that by definition becomes precluded from male use. And therefore, if a man were to go out with that on Shabbos, he'd be chayiv chatos, and vice versa. So the Gemara says the following, but one second, Master Yosef, haroim yotzim v'sakin. So roim, shepherds can go out with garments made of thick sackcloth. So Rashi points out over here, that Rashi Shemis Kasan Mohammed Meagishamim, Sak in Malbush Sak. Shepherds used to wear garments of thick sackcloth. The reason they would do that was because it was weather resistant. Weather resistant. So the shepherds who were often out in the fields, exposed to the elements, wore this weather resistant clothing. So the Gemara says, the shepherds, even though they're not shepherding on Shabbos, could still wear out their weather-resistant clothing. Not only that, says the Gemara, and it's not only shepherds who could wear it, Ella kol Adam, everyone could wear these garments. Ella shedarkon shalaroim latzeis pesakin. But rather, again, it was the shepherds who customarily went out with it. So we'll say, what do you see over here? You see from here that although this is clothing unique to the shepherds, it's clothing. And therefore what? Anyone could go out with it. So the Gemara wants to ask, therefore, Ula, why do you automatically say just because something is normally worn by a man, that therefore it's by definition not worn by a woman, and vice versa. Just like, again, the shepherd's clothing could be worn by anybody, so maybe, again, even the rings could be worn by opposite genders as well. We're not talking about an issue of, like, lo silbash gevar silas isha. We're not talking about the issue of wearing a woman's clothing. So all the Gemara is pointing out is just because an item is worn by a certain segment of the population doesn't automatically mean that it's not a garment or a takshit for another segment of the population. Therefore, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef Kasavar Ula, Noshim Am Bifnei Atzman He. This is an interesting statement. So Rav Yosef says that according to Ula, women are a nation unto themselves. A very profound statement on many levels. Right? So what Rav Yosef is saying is, you can't bring a raya from the shepherd's case. Because in the shepherd's case, at the end of the day, as much as it's daf, the type of clothing of the shepherds, at the end of the day, it's clothing that men wear. It's difficult, however, when it comes to men and women, because men and women's styles are so different, what Ula's ultimately saying is what women do, by definition, is a thing unto themselves. And therefore, it's not shaykh for men, for what men do. So therefore, again, just plugging this back in, therefore the Gemara is ultimately suggesting that halacha lemaisa, whatever the woman will wear out ring fashion, by definition will not be true by men, and were a man to wear the same thing, he might actually be chayev chatos. The Gemara says the following. Esfei Abaye, hamotzei tefillin, machnisan zug. Now I will say, we'll discuss this case actually in a little while. If a person finds tefillin, let's say Rashi says b'shuk or b'derech. A person finds tefillin either on the road or in the marketplace, but he finds it in a place where if it's left there, it's going to be ruined. So what do? Machnisan zug. You go ahead, you put the tefillin on, and you wear it into the city, right? You can't carry the tefillin, but you put it on and you wear it in to wherever it is that you want to deposit them. And you could do this even multiple times. Let's say that you find multiple pairs of tefillin. You could do this multiple times. This goes back to what we said before, that tefillin is considered to be a malbush, considered to be an article of clothing. And therefore, again, you could wear it in. Echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha. And this is true whether the man wears tefillin or the woman wears tefillin. So what the Brice is saying over here is that a woman could also put on the tefillin and wear it into a secure place. So the Gemara says, V'i amrit nashim ambifnei atzman. If you say that women are an entity unto themselves, right? V'ha mitzvas asei shazman gramahu. V'cho mitzvas asei shazman grama nashim pturos. So the Gemara says, why should this be okay? Just because tefillin is a malbush for men, first of all, it's a mitzvah se shazman grama. It's a time-bound commandment. And then for women are pturos. So why should a woman be able to wear the tefillin from that are laying in the street into a secure place? To which the Gemara says, Hasam kasav Rabbi Meir, Laila zman tefillin hu, v'shabes zman tefillin hu, havele mitzvahs ase shelo hazman grama. V'chol mitzvahs ase shelo hazman grama, yashim chayavos. So therefore the Gemara answers, because this brisa happens to reflect the view of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir holds that nighttime is a time for tefillin, that Shabbos is a time for tefillin, and therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, tefillin is not a time-bound commandment, and therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, women would actually be chayavos in the mitzvah of tefillin. Therefore, the brisa that says that even a woman could go ahead and put on a pair of tefillin that she finds on the road on Shabbos and wear it into a safe place is reflective of that particular shita. So the Gemara says, but one second, v'ha hotza kila acher yadhi. So the Gemara goes back a little bit and asks a simple question. When the Mishnah says that if a woman goes out with a tapas sheyish ala chosem, if she wears a ring that has on it a signet, that has on it a stamp, so the Mishnah said that she's chayev sechatos, right? Biblical violation. Similarly, again, Ula wanted to suggest if a man wears a ring that doesn't have a signet, it's also a chayev chatos. So the Gemara says, but why should it be a chayev chatos? This would be an act of carrying with the shinui, What does Elyon Abo say? That the normal act of carrying is how? Is you take an item in your hand. In both of these cases, the woman is wearing the ring, and the man is wearing the ring as well. This is a case of carrying with the shinui. It's indirect carrying. To which the Gemara, and therefore, why should you be chai v'chatos? Amar Rav Yirmiya be'isha gizboris askina. What are we dealing with? We're dealing with a woman. Gizboris literally means like a treasurer. What does that mean? A woman who occupies a very important position. So because of that, she often wears a signet ring because she's signing a lot of letters. So because of that, for her, that's not called kila achraya to wear a ring with a signet. Rather, that's considered to be a normative way of her transporting it. Amar Rav Chanan Rav Yochanan, Taratz the Isha, Ish Ma'ika Lameimar. What about a man? So the Gemara says, Ella Amar Rav meaning what it means, what about a man? It means when the Brisa says, when Ula says that if a man wears a ring without a signet out on Shabbos, he's going to be Chayev Bechatas, biblical prohibition. Why isn't that Tiltu Kila Achrayad? Why isn't that carrying with the Shinui? So the Gemara says, Ella Amar Rav, Pamim Sha'adam Nosim Le'ishto Tabas, She'esha Lachosam. There are times that a man will give his wife his ring with a signet, to go ahead and put it away in a box. And what does she do? She'll often put the ring on her finger to take it to the jewelry box, right? So she won't carry it, she'll put it on her finger. And there are times where a woman will give her husband her ring to go ahead and take it to the jeweler to repair it. And the husband will often go ahead and put it on his finger until when? Until he reaches the jeweler. So what does Elyon Abo say? That it's common for a man to put on a woman's ring and for a woman to put on a man's ring, albeit for short amounts of time. But the Gemara therefore is suggesting that therefore if they were to wear out these rings on Shabbos, that would not be called Chotzah Kila Achar Yad, that would not be called an act of carrying, an indirect act of carrying. Rather, it's considered, to bless you, a normative act of carrying, since Halacha L'maisa at times, each one would wear the respective ring in this fashion. And therefore, again, if they were to go out this way on Shabbos, there would be a Chiyuv Chatos. Velo b'kuliyar velo b'kovelas. A woman can't go out with a koliyar, nor can she go out with a kovelas. So the Gemara says, my koliyar. What is a koliyar? Amarav mechbanto. So what's machbanta, Rashi? Rashi says machbanta, if it's in the third line of Rashi, mushko al shem shemechavenes v'kosheres pischei acholuk. So this was like a brooch or a pin that a woman would wear by the opening of her shirt that would bring together the two ends of her blouse. It would tie together the two ends of her blouse. That's a kovalta. My koliar, amarav mechabanta. Koveles, what's a koveles? Amarav chomarta de pilon. Chomarta de pilon. A packet containing pilon. Alright, look at Rashi. Chomarta de pilon. Kasher shekasher bo sam usheshmo pilon. It's a little packet that contains the spice called pilon. Verecho oref. Right? And its scent is very pleasant. That's the pilon. So the Gemara says the following: "V'chein Amar Rav Asi chomarta de pilon. Tan Rabbanon lo yetsi bekoveles. A woman cannot go out with her koveles." So I will say again, the logic of these items of the koliar is of the koliar. Well, we'll discuss why this is aser. But the Mishnah says if she goes out with her koliar with her brooch on Shabbos, that's a chiyuv chatos. The Gemara is going to skip koliar for a little bit and focus on the koveles. Tan Rabbanon lo yetsi bekoveles. A woman cannot go out with her koveles. Again, that's the spice packet that she wears around her neck. And if she goes out with it, she's chayev eschatos. Div Rabbi Meir. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. Okay. The chacham om nechum say lo tezi. She should not go out with the spice packet. Dim yotzesa petura. But if she did so, she's petura. Rabbi Eliezer omer yotza isha bekovelas lechatzchila. And Rabbi Eliezer actually goes so far to say that a woman is permitted to go out with a kovelas lechatzchila. The ma'akam ifligi. What's the argument? Rabbi Meir sabar masoihu. Rabbi Meir holds that this spice packet is not, it's not a takshit, it's not an adornment, it's not an article of clothing, and therefore by definition, if it's not a piece of jewelry, and it's not an article of clothing, then what is it? It's a masui, it's a burden. And therefore, Alokha Lamaisi, you're chayif wearing it on Shabbos. V'rabbanan sabri takshitu. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, holds that no, it's a piece of jewelry, it's an adornment, And therefore again, remember, like many tachshitim, the concern is what? You're not chayv echatas if you wear it, but we don't want you going out with it. Why? Because you may come to take it off and show it to your friend. So the Gemara says, Dilma, I'm sorry, let's read it. Rabbanan sabri tachshit, the Rabbanan hold that it's a piece of jewelry. If it's a piece of jewelry, then why is it asim the Rabbanan to go out with it according to the Rabbanan? The Dilma shalfa umechuya v'asya la'asuye. Because we're concerned that maybe she'll take it off, show it to her friend, and end up transporting it to Al Amosun Shusarabim. But Rabbi Eliezer Sav, Rabbi Eliezer holds, Rabbi Eliezer holds that lechatchila, a woman is permitted to wear this spice packet out on Shabbos. So why does he hold that way? Savar man darka lemirmiye, who wears this spice packet? Isha sherecha ra, a woman with bad body odor. And isha sherecha ra, lo shalfa umachuya v'lo asya la'asuye arba amos birshas arabim. So the Gemara is something very interesting. That again, this packet of spices, not a woman, some woman didn't wear Rabbi Eliezer. It was a woman who had a problem with body odor. So if a person has a problem with body odor and they're wearing the spice packet, the one thing they're pretty much not going to do is what? Take it off and start showing it to their friends. That would a little bit defeat the purpose. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, because she has such a vested interest, thank you, in keeping it on her person, we're not concerned that she's going to take it off and show it to people and end up transporting it dalet amos. I the Gemara says v'hatanya, Rabbi Eliezer poter v'koveles u'bitzlucha shalpai plaiton. But we learned in a brayta that Rabbi Eliezer exempts in the case of a koveles, right, with the spice packet and with the flask of plaiton, with the flask of balsam oil. So also, what's interesting over here is the following. We just got finished saying that Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's totally mutter. Totally mutter. According to the Braisa, it says Rabbi Eliezer holds your potter. And remember, we already know potter means what? Potter means potter avalasar. That you can do it, but that you're exempt mid-oraisa, but you're chai mid-rabbanon. So which one is it? Does Rabbi Eliezer hold that it's mutter, or does he hold that it's potter avalasar? So which is something very interesting. Lo kashya. Ha ki koi ad Rabbi Meir. Ha ki koi ad Rabbanon. Everything depends whose shita Rabbi Eliezer is being contrasted with. Ki koi ad Rabbi Meir, when he's being contrasted with Rabbi Meir, to Amar Chayiv Chatos, remember Rabbi Meir is on the hold that if a woman goes out with this kovelas, with this spice package, she's Chayiv Chatos, Isidoraisa, Amar Le Potter. That Rabbi Eliezer says Potter. Rabbi Eliezer says Potter. So again, when being compared to the shita of Rabbi Meir holds that it's Chayiv Midoraisa, Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it's Potter Midoraisa. Ki koi ad Rabbanon, when Rabbi Eliezer's position is being contrasted with the Rabbanon, the Amri Pater, the Rabbanon are the ones who hold Pater Aval Asa. Because remember, the Rabbanon hold that the Kovel is a spice packet, is a tachshit, but their concern is that you're going to take it off. Woman's going to take it off and show it to her friends and end up carrying it to Amos Shusha Rabin. Then, Amr Lei Mutra Lechatchila. In that case, Rabbi Eliezer's Shita is stated as saying, Mutra Lechatchila. So the Gemara said the following, Umay, Rabbi Meir, when do we see the position of Rabbi Eliezer compared to Rabbi Meir? So the Gemara says, Disanya. Lotesi isha b'machteach shabiyada. A woman should not go out with a key in her hand. V'im yasasa, and if she went out with it, chayev eschatos. She's chayev eschatos. Div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Eliezer poter b'kovelas u'betlucha shal plaito. So we'll say the price is like this. So a woman should not go out holding a key in her hand. And if she did, she's chayev eschatos. That's the position, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Eliezer exempts in a case where a woman goes out with a koveles, a spice packet, ubitlucha shlo plaiton, and a flask of pilon oil. Of balsam oil. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Koveles man dekar shma. So we'll say that price makes no sense. Because they're talking apples and oranges, right? Rabbi Meir begins commenting on the case of a key, and Rabbi Eliezer weighs in by exempting a woman who carries out the kovelas, and it's lucha shel plaiton. So which the Gemara says, chisrui mechzer v'haki katani. There's a piece missing from the Brice, and here is how it is supposed to read. V'chein v'koveles u'bitzluchas shel plaiton lo teitze, v'im yatsa chayeves chatas divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is commenting on two cases. Case number one is that if a woman goes ahead and goes out holding her key, or if she goes out wearing a koveles, or it's luchas shal plaiton, she is chayeves chatas, according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Eliezer polter be koveles Ubitzluchis shel plaiton. Rabbi Eliezer comes along in what? An exempt says that she's putter in a case of the spice packet or with the flask of balsam oil. Bimed Ramamurim, when is that true? Kishiesh bohem bosem. When there's some actual spice in the spice packet. Aval in bohem bosem. But if there's no spices in the spice packet, then what? Then chayeves. Then even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that halacha l'maisa she's chayeves for transporting the utensil. Amar Rav Ada bar Ava zoso meres. This teaches us hamotzi ochlin pachos mikashir bekli chayev. So this is very interesting. So in general, we'll learn about the fact. We already saw part of it, but we'll see it in greater depth as we go on as well. That in order to be chayev for hotzah, for carrying, let's say, an item. The item has to be a significant amount, right? If the item is pachos mikashir, then you're not normally chayef for carrying an amount. So meaning, let's say, for example, when it comes to food, food is only significant if you have a certain amount of food, and therefore you only chayef for otzah on Shabbos if you carry that amount. If you carry a crumb of bread from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, you're not chayef on Shabbos. Not chayef. So what's interesting is the following. Now, under normal circumstances, we always assume that if you're carrying food in a kli, in a utensil, so the kli is bottled to the food. So the Gemara says, what you see from here is the following. Rabbi Eliezer just got finished saying that when does Rabbi Eliezer say that you could carry, let's say, the spice bundle or the flask containing balsam oil? That's only when there's some real spices in there. But if there are no spices in there, then what? Then you're chayiv for carrying the utensil. The Gemara says, what do you see from here? You see from here, Zosomeres, Hamotzi Ochlin Pachos Mikashir Bekli Chayiv. That if you go ahead and you carry out food items, less than the requisite shear, although you're not Chayiv for carrying the food, you will be Chayiv for what? Carrying the utensil. Daha Ein Babosem Pachos Mikashir Bekli, Daha Ein Babosem because you see from here that if you don't have any kind of, if you don't have spices in the kli, that's like pachos mikashir, and you're chayiv. Rav Ashi omer ba'alma emalucha potter. Rav Ashi says, no, in reality, I would say that under normal circumstances, if you are carrying food, pachos mikashir, in a utensil, the same way that you would be potter for the food, you'd also be potter for the utensil. I see why you chayiv over here. B'shayni hacha, Delesi Limamosha Klal. The difference over here is in the case that Rabbi Eliezer is describing is what? There's literally no spices in these. So the case of Pachos Mikashir means what? Let's say for argument's sake, I'm just gonna put it up just for illustrative purposes. Let's say in order to be chayiv for carrying bread, I have to go ahead and transport a kezayis of bread. For argument's sake. So now what happens? I transport a half a kezayis of bread. So therefore, the Gemara is going to say over here that halacha l'maisa, under normal circumstances, I would not be chayiv for carrying the bread or the kli. Why? Because the kli itself is bottled to the bread. So the Gemara says, the kli itself is bottled to the bread. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, but the case of the spices is different. Why? Because literally there are no spices in here. So this is not a case of pachos mikashir. This is a case of what? No shear. There's nothing there. When there are no spices in the kli, then by definition, I will be chayiv for transporting the kli itself because the kli obviously can't be bottled to anything because there's nothing for it to be bottled to. Fine. So the Gemara now dashes a couple of psukim over here. The Gemara says, quoting the pasuk from Amos, Vereshis Shmanim Yimshachu. That the Navi says that literally with the best of oils he will be anointed. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Ze Plaiton. This refers to Plaiton. Now what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi says Vereshis Shmanim. Muvchar shebishmarim, gazer mishum tzar churban. Both say, listen to this. What the Gemara is talking about over here, what Amos is discussing, is certain things that ultimately we don't do as a result of the churban beis hamikdash. So the Gemara says, for example, Vereshis shmarim mshachu, Amr Rav Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, ze plaiton. This refers to plaiton. Now we'll discuss exactly what that means in just a moment. Masiv Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef raises the following contradiction. Af al plaiton gazer. The rabbis decreed even on Platon. What does that mean? They decreed even on Platon that in the aftermath of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, you may not use pilon oil. Right? That's one of the ways we demonstrate our mourning over the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. If you don't use pilon oil, Rabbi Huda ben Bava, Gazer. I'm sorry. Afa Platon. Gazer Rabbi Huda ben Bava. Velo hodulo. But the Chachamim did not agree. Vi'i amrit mishum tanug amai lo hodulo. So we'll say, listen to this. The Gemara discusses elsewhere about a number of different gezeros that were made in the aftermath of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash to express our mourning over the Churban. So the Gemara is just telling us over here that one of the things that Rabbi Huda ben Bava wanted to outlaw was the use of pilon oil. But the Gemara, however, says Chazal did not agree to it. Lo hodulo. They did not go ahead and agree to this. So the Gemara said, "V'i amrit mishum tanug." But if you say that the use of pilon oil is really for tanug purposes, amaylu hodulo. Why did the rabbis not agree to outlaw the use of it in the aftermath of the Churban? Amrli Abaye. Abaye says, "Ulotameich." And according to this reasoning, "Hadichsev hashosim b'mizrekei yayin." The pasuk says, "Those who drink b'mizrekei yayin." What is mizrekei yayin? Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Chad Amar Kanishkinin. V'chad amar shemizarkin koso sehen ze leze. So once he refers to kanishkanin. What are kanishkanin? Rashi points out these were large utensils with two spouts for drinking. I guess it was like a large utensil with two spouts for drinking. Right? People, you'd have two people drinking wine out of the same utensil. So that's what it's referring to. Or others say that it refers to some type of juggling act that they used to do with glasses. Hachanami da aser. Why don't we say that these things should also be aser in the aftermath of the Churban? So the Gemara says, V'hod Rabba Barav Huna ikla lebe Reish Galusa. V'yet Rabba Barav Huna went to the house of the Reish Galusa. V'shasa b'kanishkanin v'lo amarle v'lo midi. And yet he drank from kanishkanin and no one said anything to him, which would seem to indicate that even in the aftermath of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, kanishkanin are still mutar. Ella kol midi de isbe tanug ve isbe mishum ve isbe simcha gazu rabbanon. Therefore, the Gemara says that any item that is because of tanug, any item that's because of pleasure, and also has simcha, that the rabbis were gozer on, that you can't do in the aftermath of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Aval midi de isbe tanug but ultimately, those things that have pleasure but do not have simcha, the rabbis were not gozer on. So therefore, again, Rabbi Osai, so really, really what it comes down to over here, the Gemara is suggesting, the only reason the Gemara is getting into this is that since we spoke about the pilon oil earlier, the Gemara is speaking about pilon oil now also. But the idea is that in the aftermath of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Chazal were gozer on all of those things that have an element of simcha, tanug, enjoyment, as well as simcha. But things that are just pleasurable, but don't really elicit a feeling of simcha, by definition, those things are still mutter. Hashochvev amitos shein usruchim al arsosam. So now the Gemara continues to quote another passage from Amos, that those who sleep on beds of ivory, usruchim al arsosam, and ultimately, usruchim al arsosam literally means stretched out on their couches. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, Melamed Shah." Now, I'll say again, the Navi, I'll just give you the context. The Navi Amos speaks a lot about the failings of the Jewish people. So the Gemara says like this. So what does it mean? What does it mean that they were sleeping on their beds of ivory, usruchim alar sasam, and stretching out on their couches? So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, Melamed Shahu Mashtinin Mayin Bifnei Mitos Sehen Arumin." They used to urinate in front of their beds naked. Right? The idea is that when they would not go ahead and go to the outhouse to relieve themselves, but rather again they would urinate right by their beds. So the Gemara says, "Megadef Rabbi Avo." So Rabbi Avo scoffed at this. Ihochi Hainu Dichsiv Lochin Ato Yiglu Berosh Golim. So the Gemara says, "I don't understand." Rabbi Avo was surprised because they urinated by their beds. That's why they were exiled. That was the big sin of the Jewish people, that they didn't go to the outhouse. They just urinated by their bed. So the Gemara says, "No, no, no. Ella Om Rabbi Avo Elu Bnei Adam." Shahayu ochlim vishosim ze'im ze. Rather, what does it refer to? People who would go ahead and eat and drink with each other. Vidovkin mitoseyan zubazu. And they would put their couches, their beds next to each other. Umachlifin nishoseyem ze'im ze. And they would share their wives with one another. Therefore, umasrichin arososam b'shichvas zera she'en al shalohen. And they would literally dirty their beds with semen that was not their own. So the Gemara says, that's what it means when it says, hashochim amitoshen, they sleep on beds of ivory, usruchim al arsosam. Literally, soruch means disgusting. It means disgusting, putrid. They would putrefy their beds. So what the Gemara, what Rabbi Abba is saying over here is, the reason the Navi is saying is they were exiled is because there was a fundamental breakdown in the norms of morality. That's why the Jewish people were exiled. Amr Rabbi Avo, v'Amr Rabbi Masnisa Tana. So Rabbi Avo says the following. Now that the Gemara mentioned this urinating by the bed, the Gemara says, Gimel Dvarim Mevien Es HaAdam Lidei Anius. There are three things that bring people to poverty. Ve'eluhein, and these are they. Hamashtin mayim bifnei mitasa arum, someone who goes ahead and urinates in front of his bed naked. Or mezalzel b'netilas yadayim, one who disparages hand washing, netilas yadayim. V'she'ishto mekalalaso b'fanav, and one whose wife curses him to his face. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? Hamashtin mayim bifnei mitasa, what does it mean if one urinates in front of his bed arum? Amar Rava, Lo amron ela de mahadir ape lepuria. That's only if what? If your head is facing your bed. What does it mean on both sides? If your head is facing your bed, by definition, if your head is facing your bed, it means your body can't be totally facing away from your bed, right? Meaning, even if your body's facing away, you know, whenever you turn your head, your body shifts a little bit as well. In that type of circumstance, it's quite possible that someone is going to get some urine on their bed. The idea over here is, what does it mean that if a person urinates in front of their bed naked, they're going to become poor? What it means is that if a person demonstrates such disregard for their possessions, that literally you don't even distance yourself enough from your bed to avoid getting urine on your bed. If you showed such disregard for your possessions, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you don't care about what I've given you enough, then I'm not going to give you any more. Aval livroi leslanba. So for example, if you faced away from your bed, and therefore again, there's no concern that some of the urine is going to go on the bed, it's not a problem. Umahadra pe lepuria namivo amran, elab delo ela la'ara. And even if you turned your head a little bit to the bed, the only concern is if you're urinating on the floor. Because then some of the concerns that'll get on your bed. But if a person's urinating into a utensil to a bedpan, then there's no worry even if you turn your head a little bit, because the assumption is the urine won't go anywhere except the utensil. Umezalzel b'netilas yadayim. What does it mean if a person is disparaging of netilas yadayim? Amar Rava, lo amran ela de lo mashi yadiklal. Rava says this refers to someone who does not do netilas yadayim at all. Ava masha v'lo masha, less lamba. But if a person washes their hands, but let's say doesn't wash their hands with a lot of water, let's say a person washes is stingy with the water, they only use the revius, okay, then it's not great hand washing, but it's hand washing nevertheless. So the Gemara says, v'lav milzi, but that's not true. Damar Rav Chista said, ana mashoi male chofni mayo, v'yohovuli male chofni tivusa. Because Rav Chista said, I wash with handfuls upon handfuls of water, and I've been given handfuls and handfuls of blessing. I will say, there is this idea, it's the truth is, you find this a number of times in the Gemara, that a person who is generous with netilas yadayim, ultimately the Gemara understands that to be an incredible skula for getting brachos from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. V'she'ishto mekhalasa b'fanav. What about this last case? A man who goes ahead and his wife curses into his face. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava al iske tachshitel. Why is she cursing him? Because he doesn't buy her jewelry. And I will say again, now remember, tachshiteha is not just jewelry, right? Tachshiteha means her needs, right? He's not taking care of it. So what does this mean, Abosai? Vahani mili hu de isla velo avid. So what is this talking about? Where he has the means to take care of his wife properly, and he does not do so. So Chazal say, if you have the means to take care of your wife properly, and you don't do so, and it upsets her to the point that she curses you to your face, just understand, that's a sure sign that anios, that poverty is sure to come. A person doesn't, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a person mean, and a person is stingy with his wife, anios is sure to come afterwards. Darash Rava Berei Draviloi. So Rava Darshnei Raviloi. Maidich Siv, what is the meaning of the pasuk? And here the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yeshaya. Vayomer Hashem, Ya'an ki gafu benos tzio. So now again, the pasuk over here from Yeshaya is talking about the moral downfall of the moral downfalls of the Jewish people. So Hashem said, Ya'an ki gafu benos tzio. Literally, the daughters of Zion have lifted themselves up. What does that mean? Shahayu mahalchos b'koma zekufa. They used to walk. The women used to walk in a very erect fashion. So, meaning what it was is it showed a certain level of arrogance that the women would walk in an arrogant fashion. Vatelachna netuyos garon. They would walk with outstretched necks. Shahayu mahalchos ekev b'tzad godel. The gudel. They would walk literally. Literally, it means heel to big toe. They would take very short steps. And I guess by taking these very short steps, their movements would become especially noticed. It's talking about the fact that the women were acting in an immodest, immoral fashion. Umishakros enai. What does it mean, mishakros enai? Gazing eyes. Dahave malan kochla le'inayu. They would put on a lot of eye makeup. Umiramzan. And they would cast these type of inviting glances. Haloch v'tafuf, literally floating as they walked. Shahayu mahalchos aruka b'tzad kitzara, that a tall woman would make sure to walk next to a short woman. Right? Because if a tall woman walks, would make sure to walk next to a short woman, by definition, she'll catch the attention of the men around. Uberagleyan teakasno, and they will go ahead and literally spew venom with their feet. Amrav Yitzchok debed rami ami. Nelamid shematilos mor va'afarsimon b'ma'an aleihen. They would put mor and afarsimon. They would put myrrh and balsam in their shoes. U'mahalchos b'shuki Yerushalayim. They would walk in the marketplace of Jerusalem. V'chevon shemagios eitzal b'achure Yisrael. They would get next to the young men. Bo'atos b'karka. They would stamp their feet. U'matizos aleihem. Now, by stamping their feet, what that would do is that would activate the scent of the spices of these items. U'machnisos bahen yitzahara ka'aras. And ultimately, again, upon smelling how good the women smelled, this would awaken the yitzahara. Would awaken the yitzahara within the men. So the Gemara says the following: Eitzavachor Yisrael, both as karmatizos like machnisos bahen yitzahara ka'aras, and the yitzahara would be injected into the men like the venom of a snake. Bichos, ka'aras bichos, like venom in an angry snake. My poronoseim. So what was the punishment? So the Gemara is just pointing out that part of the downfall of the Jewish people was the immorality that existed. So what was the punishment? Kiddarish Rava Baravula, v'hoya tachas bosem muck. That instead of fragrant scent, there'll be muck, there'll be decay. Right, v'haya tachas mosem, v'haya tachas bosem, makiya, makom shayu misbasmos, bo naasen nemakim nemakim. The very places where their women were fragrant became places of decay. V'tachas chagura nakfa, and instead of a belt, there'll be nakfa bruising. Makom shayu chaguros bitzilzul, places where they girded themselves, they put on a beautiful sash. Naasen nekafim nekafim, became places of bruising. V'tachas ma'asem miksha karcha, and in places where there was miksha. Miksha refers to certain types of jewelry that was worn on the hair of women. So instead of jewelry, karcha, makom shayim miskashtos bo na'ase krachim perachim. Right? Ultimately, places where women adorned themselves with beautiful jewelry in their hair became krachim krachim, became places of baldness. Alright, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up right in this piece tomorrow. Not a good place to end, but yeah, I'm sorry. The good news is we're still here. Baruch Hashem, we should end on a high note. But despite all of that, Baruch Hashem, we're still learning the daf.